number two.
We told you the Broncos have brought back little Jordan Humphrey. He will return to the Denver Broncos. I also want to stay in that wide receiver room because Jerry Jeudy's out. He's on his way to Cleveland. Oh, dude, by the way, I heard some real creepy stuff this morning on the morning show. Did you hear the whole Jerry Jeudy thing with Schlereth? And
no.
Jerry is now going on Schlereth's daughter's Instagram and liking her photos.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's got him, coach. Buckle up, Marky. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That is hilarious.
Yeah, it's,
that is hilarious. Welcome to 2024.
That's right. High class move from Jerry Jeudy there. So
I think it's hilarious. What do you think of it?
I think it's creepy and weird.
I think it's funny. I really do. I kind of look at Jerry like, oh, okay, I see you.
No respect.
Yeah. Right? Like, I don't know. I mean, you're taking shots at me or whatever. I don't know how he feels about Mark. Does he not like Mark?
I got that impression, yeah.
Okay. And so it's like, all right. I think that's probably better than, you know, just like saying some of the things like he said in the past on Twitter.
Yeah, old heads or whatever.
Yeah, where he's going at like Rod Smith and going at certain guys. This is kind of a different kind of way to do it under the radar. Mark finds out, but it's kind of like, all right, I see you, Jerry. A little bit different tactic here from him.
It's an outside-the-box approach.
Right, right. So I'm like, all right. I don't know how, like, I'm not, like, I don't know all the rules of engagement when it comes to social media, like, you know, with the young crowd and, like, how they look at those things when you like someone's photo.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, what is that signaling?
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure about that, but... So I don't know. Is that a bad thing? Is it just kind of a...
I mean, if you go on someone's Instagram page, and I'm sure Kevin has never done anything like this. You go on someone's Instagram page, and you like every photo.
Yeah.
You're sending a message.
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right.
Right.
Okay, see, I don't do Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, so, that's right. You're off the gram.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know all the rules of engagement there.
That's... If you're liking all the photos, you got something in mind.
That is so funny. I got it hat off to Jerry Jeudy right there. Like, all right, I'm going to do something a little bit different where it's not like out in front of everyone where I'm just making my thoughts on Mark Schlereth be known. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go a roundabout way here in a sneaky way to let him know how I feel about him.
I don't know that, look, Jerry Judy's a very in-shape, athletic, strong young man. He could probably take me one-on-one, right?
Yeah, he definitely could.
I'll go with probably. Mark Schlereth? I don't know that those are the buttons I'm pushing if I'm a young Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, but you're not looking to fight the guy. You're just kind of a roundabout way, and you're just sending a message to him that, hey, I could play this game too. I got a way to get back at you.
Well, you might not be looking to fight the guy, but some of the things you do might make that guy be looking to fight you.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's Mark going to fly to Cleveland. I mean, how about that? Does Mark have any Cleveland Browns games this year?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
Those pre-production meetings should be pretty fun.
Right.
All right, so staying with the wide receiver room because Jerry is out. Lil Jordan's back. Tim Patrick was restructured, re-signed to get the $9.5 million cap hit down. And then, of course, Marvin Mims. Everybody wants room for Marvin to grow. Well, Courtland Sutton and Chris Tomlinson of the Denver Gazette is talking about the conversations, or really lack thereof conversations, that he's not going to be traded. There have not been any talks of that. And in fact, Stoke, they have to make a decision on Courtland by Sunday to make his roster guarantee. That date is going to come up here on Sunday. So that's my question to you. That's my question to Broncos country. And you answer at 303-713-1043. What's the best play with Courtland Sutton? Is the wide receiver room now Courtland, Mims, Tim Patrick, Lil Jordan, Brand Johnson, guys like that as depth? Or is Courtland Sutton still possibly somebody that's gone before Sunday?
No, I think it's still a possibility here that he could be gone. I think what you'll see here is if he does stay, possibly reducing the salary a little bit here. The Broncos do have some leverage. When you look at his situation of how much money that he has guaranteed, obviously he has a roster bonus coming up.
Yep.
And so they have to make a decision here. They could save about $10 million on the cap. He's due to make about $13 million bucks this year. So They do have a little bit of leverage in this situation because the party's already gotten started.
Yeah.
Money's being spent. You don't want to be a free agent right now, right? I mean, you wanted to be a free agent, you know, on tampering day, Monday.
Monday, yeah.
Right? So money has been spent, and so it's not ideal for a guy to all of a sudden be a free agent right now. That's not best case scenario. So I think if you look at the situation with Cortland, you could possibly see a restructure type of situation or just a flat out release.
So that's like, hey, I'm the Broncos. I come to Cortland and say, you have to restructure your deal or we're going to release you. And it's Thursday on day four of tampering period.
That's what happened with Aaron Jones.
Yeah,
in Green Bay.
Exactly right.
They wanted to reduce his salary. They were trying to work to do it, couldn't do it. All right, bye. And then they got, who'd they pick up as?
Josh Jacobs,
yeah. That's right. So it's it was like that type of situation. And if you're the Denver Broncos, I don't know how they feel about Cortland. I don't know if they're okay with this or if they're like, we want to get this number down a little bit. So it should be interesting to see what happens with him. I think it's probably, for me, it's right now because nothing's happened yet, it's probably 70% chance he's on the roster here, 30% chance he's not. Like you said, he has $2 million of his salary that becomes fully guaranteed on the 18th.
Yeah,
here. So
yeah, Sunday.
That's Sunday, right? So we'll have a lot of the answers there about Cortland Sutton moving forward. It's just okay if you don't have Cortland. What? What?
I mean, you're talking about Marvin Mims, Tim Patrick, and Little Jordan Humphrey.
Right.
That's your wide receiver group.
So you look at that and you say, well, dang, I don't know if they can go down that road. We don't have anybody else now that we traded Judy.
Mm-hmm.
And perfect, we're gonna take a look at Mims. He might be a zero. I don't know. He might be a grand slam. Might be awesome.
Right.
We haven't seen enough of him to say, like, this guy could be the answer. Tim Patrick's been hurt for two straight years. Little Jordan, right? I mean, we don't want him to be our starter. So I don't know what other options we have in this situation. So it's probably just like, all right, well, we got to keep Cortland because we know he's good, at least.
Well, and it's also, I was thinking about that too, the long-term play. You restructure Cortland. He's only 29. And again, you said something last segment that's spot on. They hit the draft this year. They are good in the draft next year. This turnaround can happen in a season or two. And Cortland could still be young enough, if it is a season or two, to be somebody that contributes on the back end of this rebuild. But there's so many variables. You have to get it right. He has to restructure. Has to be a team-friendly deal. You have to find a quarterback. All these things have to go right for Cortland to stay in Denver and be a part of the back end of the rebuild. And that's a lot of variables that makes me pretty nervous about that.
Yeah, he's got 2 years left on his contract right now. And so it's, I don't know, once you get on that north side of 30, I start to get kind of worried about it. So I don't know how much further in the future you can look at Cortland being a part of this team and being a productive part of this team. You're going to try to find Marvin Mims, right, with guys like young guys, cheap talent, that can come in here and be the next Cortland Sutton or the next Emmanuel Sanders or, you know, guys like that. And so we'll see what it looks like in the draft. If they do get a receiver or two. But certainly, we don't have many options right now at the wide receiver position. So when you go through the list, it's like, okay, Cortland does have a lot of leverage here because I don't think the Broncos want to move on from him. And like, who are you going to go with? Unless you just pick up a couple of those fourth or fifth tier wide receivers in free agency on the cheap, I just think that you're probably going to be stuck with Cortland for one more year.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's probably going to be time to move on. But we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. But I do expect him to be back this year. How do you view it? And it's got Sunday, you said?
Sunday.
Sunday is when the $2 million bonus becomes fully guaranteed, of his salary becomes fully guaranteed.
I like them to bring Cortland Sutton back. And I will tell you more about why coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
We're talking about Cortland Sutton. Sunday's deadline to get him a roster bonus. It's right around the corner. So what should they do? We were discussing it. Stokely asked me what I would do. I think I'd bring him back. I would bring Cortland Sutton back. It's such a lackluster room already, and then you don't have him in there. That's going to be a big-time problem for an offense that already struggles. So I'm trying to restructure him. I'm trying to bring him back, and I get what you're saying about that 30, you know, deadline, being 30 years old or older. But I'm not looking to give him a five-year deal. You know, it's a 2-3 year deal, guaranteed money off the books after that first or second year. And then you hope you've hit all the draft picks, and he's kind of like that veteran presence of the wide receiver room as you're getting younger in there, and his time comes to an end. So that's the perfect play in my mind. But again, there's so many things that go into that. But I would keep him around.
Oh, man, I'm torn here.
You are.
I think he's a good presence. Seems like he's a good leader, you know, been a captain. So you like all those things, certainly. You don't have many other options. But I'm almost at the point now where I'm just like, screw it. No, seriously, I'm just like, screw it. Like, whatever. Let's save the money here. We can save $10 million on the cap.
Yeah.
And let's go find a, Kisner, give me one of those free agents out there.
Michael Thomas.
No, give me another one. I don't want Michael Thomas. But, okay, fine. Michael Thomas. He knows Sean Payton, whatever. We'll pay him a couple million bucks.
Yeah.
And that's it, right? And then give me another one.
Allen Robinson.
No. Another one.
DJ Shark.
All right, we're going.
Curtis Samuel.
There you go. We're going to get Curtis Samuel.
Okay.
Thank you. Because he can play inside, he can play outside. I like Curtis Samuel. All right, that's who we're going to go get. That might be my favorite one of the bunch there.
That one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to go get Curtis Samuel and who was that? Michael Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get them both. And so, because Curtis Samuel, he can be our slot guy. He can be our running back if we want to. So that's what we're going to do with the money. We're going to go get two of them. Two wide receivers for the price of one.
I like
that. Maybe a little bit cheaper. And we're just going to move on from Cortland Sutton. I'm fine with that also. I am. It's just like, it hasn't been good enough, so why are we just hanging on? Like, what are we going to do without this guy? Well, you know, I mean, are we going to go from 17 points to 16 and a half? Probably not. Right? It's like, it's not that big of a deal. It's really not that big of a deal. If you want to keep him, I'm fine with it. But if you want to just move on and turn the page and just, like, start fresh here, I am A-okay with that also.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we started the conversation. I'm like, yeah, let's just keep him, man. I mean, that'd be, like, he's a good teammate, does things the right way, captain, all those things.
Double-digit touchdowns a year ago.
Right. Playmaker for us. Not quite the same player he was 3 or 4 years ago. Before he got injured.
Yeah.
But still, he had a good year last year, made some big-time catches for us. And that's where I started the conversation, but then you were just talking. I'm just like, again, sometimes it's just like, it hasn't been great with him.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just move on.
So basically my reason of keeping him made you want to get rid of him.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking, like, what are we doing? You know, it's almost like the same conversation with Justin Simmons.
It is.
Good player. But, like, okay,
mm-hmm.
we'll go get, I don't know, Brandon Jones. Whatever. I mean, it's fine. It's not like we've been this great football team with all these guys. Have we?
No. You can miss the playoffs without Cortland Sutton as well.
Exactly.
They've done that with him.
That is well said.
Thank you.
First time in a while.
Yeah, short
and sweet.
So I
want to give you credit.
I should just say less, and then maybe it comes off better.
Right.
On the show here.
Yeah. There you go. We've got to figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, I got
just don't say much at all, and everything will be great.
That's right. Pretty sweet gig for me, honestly.
Not bad.
Yeah, but I also could look at this as, okay, so...
Worked out pretty well for Zach.
Yeah, sure did, right? The guy's at Madison Square Garden last night just hanging out.
Well, he jumped on my back. I carried him for success. I'll do the same thing for you, Josh.
I appreciate that. look, in the wide receiver room, it's... If Cortland's not there and you're going in... So let's just do this exercise. Cortland's not a part of the Broncos in 2024. Who's wide receiver one? Is it Marvin freaking Mims in year two, who was a punt returner, pro bowler, not a wide receiver? That's what they're going to roll with. Marvin Mims, Tim Patrick off two consecutive knee surgeries, and Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Well, I think one was knee, one was Achilles.
Okay, lower body.
Yeah. Just because you said it once before and I let it slide, but this time I just want to correct you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we want to get things accurate on here. I don't care. Who like... There you go, right there. Who is it? No, it's Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Curtis Samuel. There you go. That's going to be one of our number one receivers.
Okay.
They don't run around with halos over their head saying, I'm number one, I'm number two. Like, we don't, like, is Cortland Sutton a number one? Is he a true number one receiver in the NFL?
Oh, in the NFL, no. On the Denver Broncos, yes.
Right, exactly. So, is that our standard? Just like, oh, we're good with that? Like, you're not really a number one receiver, no. But we're going to pay you like a number one receiver, and we're just good with that. That's our standard around here. We're good with it. Or let's just move on. I'm fine either way I am with Cortland Sutton. But at the end of the day, it's almost like you take a step back and say, it's been bad around here. Broncos have been bad. Our passing game has been awful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, so how is it going to be without the guy that's been a part of all of that? Trust me on this. We'll be just fine. We'll be just fine. It's not like, oh, how are we gonna replace that, you know, 1,500 yards of production? No, it's like, how are we going to replace that 700 and, you know, 50 yards of production, mm-hmm. whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how many yards he had. So that's where we're at. We'll be just fine trying to replace that, okay? And sometimes it's better. Sometimes it's better just to rip the dang Band-Aid off and just start fresh.
Mm-hmm. I agree with
now
that.
Now you get somebody else, maybe your six-rounder that you get this year, maybe he plays and you're like, oh, my gosh. Wow, that guy wouldn't have got that much playing time if Cortland was around.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm good either way here, but I'm leaning just to move on now.
Okay. Broncos fans, how do you feel about it? Let us know. RamosLaw.com. Text lines rolling 303-713-1043. We'll revisit that and get some of your thoughts coming as well.
So you want to sign him to a 10-year extension.
That's right.
And I'm good with just moving on.
I've already put him in the Ring of Fame.
Right.
He's up there right now.
Do I get a piece? Do I get a piece? Kisner, do I get like a piece?
You get 14. The little sliver?
14,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you go. Your name goes above, though.
Oh, it does.
It's bigger letters.
Oh, Portland's got the sliver.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I'll take a sliver. I'll take a little mm-hmm. piece on the right.
Maybe that Brian Greasy squeezes in.
Yeah. Greasy's there. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. We can all just go in together. Just one big happy family.
Every time you go to the game, you're like, Lana, take a look at the board.
Yeah, boom. Exactly.
Brandon Stokely, 14.
Right. Maybe I'll just go sign my name on the bottom.
Oh,
just
there you
real
go.
Real low, just sign it down there. See, I told it's my name's on there. So I just
my name's at Mile High too.
Yeah, like in the basement,
bathroom stall, section 334.
Yeah. Figures, typical North Glen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I graffitied it. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, makes sense.
All right, let's hit a timeout. I want to get back to some Avalanche conversation, and we're going to do that in a couple of minutes, but we have to have a conversation with James Merrillat of DenverSports.com. They're tracking all of the moves. So we'll get the latest, what's going down, and see who old Jimmy likes for the Broncos' next quarterback. That's next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
We find James Merrillat of DenverSports.com. He is on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. James, let's start with the elephant in the room. The Broncos don't have a quarterback yet. Why not, and who will it be?
Well, I'm fine with the fact that they don't have a quarterback based on the guys that have gone off the list. I mean, unless they were going to go get Kirk Cousins or Baker Mayfield or somebody like that, which they were never going to do. They didn't have the money to go get those guys. I'm just fine with, you know, Jacoby Brissett going to the Patriots and, you know, the rest of the journeymen ending up somewhere else. So that's totally good by me. Hopefully it's a sign that they're going to draft somebody, because I think that's a plan we can get on board with, of whether somebody falls to them at 12 that they like, or they move up a little bit and get someone. The other option that I think is somewhat interesting is, as the Justin Fields market cools, why not go get a guy that's going to be a little under $2 million against the cap this year? Now, next year is fifth-year option. You would either have to give him a new deal or pick up a huge number, but that might be a good way to test drive Justin Fields for a year. So I'd be on board with that. If you're not going to give me somebody with some upside, I don't want him here, and Jacoby Brissett and company have no upside, so I'm fine with what they're doing.
James, Cortland Sutton, he's got a $2 million guarantee that is due on – guarantee of his salary that comes due on Sunday. What do you do with Cortland Sutton? Do you think they do anything with him, or do they just pay him his money and he's around this year, or do they move on from Cortland before Sunday?
I think you either just keep him under his current deal, or you maybe try to restructure it and make it a little bit more team-friendly in terms of what the number is this year. But once you decided to move on from Jerry Jeudy, I don't think you can move on from both of them, and I don't think either one of them is a number one receiver. I think that was part of the issue last year is Denver didn't have a number one, but with Jeudy gone, you're hoping Tim Patrick comes back, but we said that exact same thing a year ago, and unfortunately didn't make it through training camp again. We hope Marvin Mims develops, but, you know, Sean Payton said that was on the coaching staff. Okay, maybe the light bulb has gone on with them, but we don't know that. So you have to have somebody for whoever this rookie quarterback is to throw the football to, and Courtland Sutton is a number two, I think is a really good option. He's an expensive number two. You know, T. Higgins is going to be an expensive number two in Cincinnati. Courtland ain't as good as T. Higgins, but you got to have somebody on the roster. You got to have some playmakers. And, you know, sorry, but the guys they've re-signed, bringing back a fullback and bringing back a tight end from a group that didn't produce much, that doesn't excite me. So I don't think they can afford to let Courtland Sutton go at this point.
Well, don't forget about little Jordan Humphrey, who was re-signed today,
right.
James.
Right. If you had a cup of coffee in the New Orleans airport, you are eligible to be on this receiver or on this roster. Sorry.
Hey, Stoke was born in New Orleans. I mean,
he should be eligible here. He's eligible.
Call me.
47. You still got some in
that
tank,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I got a play or two.
We're talking to James Merrillat. He's on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. James, now, they said it would be quiet, right? They told us that. They told us what it was going to be. But it's been really quiet, and they have yet to get anybody, as you just mentioned, that's not on their team a year ago on the offensive side of the ball, which was obviously a big problem a year ago. You surprised about how quiet it's been?
Yeah, and I mean, they've been pretty active in terms of restructuring deals, and it's a little bit of kicking the can down the road, right? That this is one of the things you can do, though, when you have ownership with deep pockets. You can turn this year's salary into signing bonuses, which means you write a check today, so you got to have a lot of cash in the coffers versus paying it out over the course of the season with weekly checks. And that's when, you know, season ticket holder monies come in, that's when TV monies come in, and that's something back in the Pat Bowlen days they just couldn't do. They didn't have that kind of cash, so that has helped, but they freed up that cap space to do what? And that's been a bit of a mystery to me of whether it was Russell Wilson, whether it's Jarrett Stidham, Justin Fields, or hopefully a rookie quarterback. You got to give them something to work with. And I didn't think they had the right skill position guys a year ago. Jerry Jeudy leaving. Listen, none of us think Jerry Judy's great, but they haven't replaced Jerry Jeudy at this point. So you got to go get somebody for that rookie quarterback to hand the ball off to throw the ball to. And that becomes a big time concern. I think you're setting a young player up for failure if you don't add some pieces. So yeah, it's a little bit disappointing that they haven't gone out there and done something to address particularly tight end, because I think if they had a quarterback, they could take Brock Bowers or try to move up and get Brock Bowers at, you know, 10, 11, 12, and then all of a sudden you solve that position. But without being able to do that, you got to find somebody that's a pass-catching tight end. Adam Trautman's not going to be that. And you have to go replace Jerry Jeudy at this point, and to just hope Tim Patrick's going to come back and do it, I think is a little bit foolhardy. And to just hope Marvin Mims is going to develop, okay, it's the same trap they fell into the last 2 years, fellas, when Tim Patrick got hurt in camp. Oh, we got enough guys on the roster. The young players are going to develop. And they were 0-2. Both times that failed to materialize. I think they need to go out and add some pieces. But, man, they're just sitting around. They got a couple of hammocks set up down at Dove Valley, and they're just chilling. That's what that's what's been going on all week.
James, do you get the feeling that because of the restructures and the money movement that's happening, that their play here is just to eat as much as the Russ cap in year one and then bounce in 2025?
It feels like that. And honestly, I'd be fine with that, right? Even if they draft a rookie, like, they're going to be bad in 2024 anyway. This isn't a playoff team. Mm-hmm. This isn't a team that is probably even going to flirt with being above 500 if everything breaks their way. So why not just mitigate the disaster, right? Just making a 1 year just as bad as possible. And heck, worst case scenario, you end up with the top five pick and, you know, you go get yourself somebody that can help out on either side of the ball there, right? Like when they had the number two overall pick back in the day, it wound up being Von Miller. That turned out pretty good. So, you know, maybe you just mitigate it. You have one really, really bad year instead of two kind of bad years. sign me up for that. I think you try and eat as much of this in year one as you can.
Yeah, James, I'm looking at the situation and saying, okay, this roster really needs a influx of young talent, drafted talent. And they took the first step in getting a couple extra picks with the Jerry Jeudy situation. And you look at this roster, and I think this is a year to play these guys, Marvin Mims. How about we draft a tight end and give that guy a lot of playing opportunity? We draft a wide receiver and give that guy a lot of opportunities to get on the football field and see what we have. It's time to start. It's time to turn the page here. And if you lose along the way, guess what? We've been losing with these other guys. So it's just time to try to find the next Emmanuel Sanders, the next Julius Thomas out there, right? And it starts in the draft, but you have to get these guys on the football field. And holding on to some of these other guys, to me, right now, is just a waste of time.
I'm with you. I mean, if you're going to lose, and you know, we're all assuming they're going to lose either way, you'd rather lose with young players. At least they're developing, right? What's the point of losing with Justin Simmons in his ninth year and paying him a ton of money to do that? What's the point of losing with Lloyd Cushenberry, who I think's a good center, but you might as well see what you got in Wattenberg and Forsyth, right? Like, if you're going to lose with youth, therefore they can develop and maybe, you know, turn into the core that becomes the center of this team once they're good again and once they're winning again. So I'm with you. I don't get too excited about a fifth and a sixth round pick for Jerry Jeudy, because more than likely, those are guys that are never going to contribute to this team.
Well, that was what Jerry Jeudy was too, though, right?
Well, I mean, listen, he was disappointing, but are they going to get a guy in the fifth or sixth round that produces what he did? They're not. And you can look at the draft history of George
Payton. How do you
Payton.
Know? Wait.
Look at the draft history of George Payton in the fifth and sixth round.
Well,
the last 3 years.
But
Find me a guy that's done squat.
He's not drafting. It's Sean Payton.
Okay, well, last year, who'd they draft in the fifth and sixth? Who did Sean go get?
Well, I don't know. Who?
I mean,
you tell me. But that doesn't mean, like, this year, like, you're definitely not going to find a good player. I mean, there's still good players available. They got to go out there and find a guy. But let's not just assume that you're not going to get a really good player in the fifth or sixth round. It becomes a little bit more difficult. But at a certain point, it's like Jerry was Jerry. We were done with Jerry. I'm okay with that. But don't just assume that we can't get a good player in the fifth or sixth.
Well, okay.
Where was Terrell Davis drafted?
DeLaurin, Turner, Yale, Montrell Washington, Luke Wattenberg, Matt Henningsen. I mean,
that's Luke Wattenberg's year, James. You didn't know that? This is the breakout year, buddy.
Stearns, Jamar Johnson, and Seth Williams. That's your fifth and sixth round picks under George Payton.
Is the year, buddy.
So, and listen, you can break out Tom Brady and Terrell Davis.
Yes, that's my go-to.
They were both taken in the 90s in the sixth round, right? So, like,
they're there,
2024.
Though. So you're saying there's a chance.
You got to come with an example that's more than a quarter century old.
That's fair.
Right? I mean, yes, it's happened before, but, you know, we're not going to go out there and count on lightning striking. So unless they're adding day one, obviously, or day two picks, those are premium picks. Those are picks that you expect to become starters. Unless they're adding that, I'm not going to get too excited about it, because otherwise they're throwing a dart. They're picking a name out of a hat, and one or two may hit. Stoke, they may. And listen, the more darts you throw, the more chance you have of hitting the board. I get that, but the folks that get excited about the fifth and sixth round picks, it's like, hey, it's the same thing they did when they traded away Vaughn and they traded away DT and they traded away Emmanuel Sanders. What did those picks turn into? A big heap of jack squat. That's what they turned into. So, people fall in love with draft picks because it's like they're on Let's Make a Deal, and they want to see what's behind door number three. Well, more than likely, it's a bale of hay.
Well, we know what's behind door number one with Jerry Jeudy. It's nothing. It's just drama. It's a lot of money for not much production. So I'd rather see what's behind door number three and door number four over there with the fifth and sixth round pick rather than seeing Jerry Jeudy go about out there again this year and drive us crazy.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you because I'm not I think Jerry Jeudy was a huge disappointment. Huge. Highest drafted receiver in the history of the organization. When you're that, you should be up on the facade. They should be squeezing in between Dan Reeves and John Lynch, right? So, obviously, he was a disappointment, but I'm just not doing cartwheels that they got a fifth and sixth round pick. I'm not doing cartwheels that they're going to add a couple of guys that they're going to cut in 2025 during training camp. It's just, that's more likely than not what's going to happen. And I want to see George Payton and Sean Payton show to me that they can use those picks and turn them into players that are going to contribute, that are going to be able to be starters. That's where they're going to have to rebuild, right? Like, yeah, they're going to use the ones, the twos, and the threes to find some starters, but can they find some in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round when other people are missing? Can they get some hits? There's no track record to show they can do that. I'm hoping they can, and maybe Sean Payton can turn that around, but it's the three-year history with George suggests those are going to be a bunch of guys that are on the waiver wire sooner rather than later.
That's James Merrillat. He is doing his thing over at denversports.com. We're highlighting all the Broncos' free agency moves, so make it a daily stop to figure out what is going down. With us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline, James, we always appreciate the time.
See you, fellas. Get your fertilizer down. It's going to snow.
Yeah, we're going to get to some snow prep conversation coming up. Let's react to a couple things James had to say, and we got to talk about what Aaron Rodgers is going to do post-football playing career. That's next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Our conversation with James Merrillat last segment had a couple of things. He is, like all of us, wondering what's going to happen with the quarterback situation. Had a little bit of intrigue from Justin Fields.
I got a lot of issues with what he says.
You did? You didn't agree with James? What?
Yeah. and this is the norm here, but I don't like the philosophy of, you know what, hey, if it's not a first or second rounder, why even worry about it? You're like, remember what we talked about at the beginning of the show? Give you a quiz here.
Yeah, I remember everything.
Yeah, I know you did.
Kiss was confused. Tell him what we were talking about.
Yeah, I'll help him out. He was very confused. The draft is the foundation of your football team. That's the life of your football team. Do you want another Demaryius Thomas?
I would love another.
Do you want another Emmanuel Sanders?
Sure would.
And I get it. Demaryius is a first round pick. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel wasn't. He was a free agent. Do you want another, how about this, Justin Simmons?
Yeah, I would love another Justin Simmons.
On a cheap contract?
Third round, he was like the 70th pick.
Right. Would you like another Terrell Davis?
Oh, I would.
I would too.
Yeah.
You get these guys in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can find them in the draft. Third round, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round. They're the life of your team, and you get them and you keep them. They don't go to free agency, but you have to get them in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. You have to find these guys in the draft. It's hard to get them in free agency. I know you got Emmanuel in free agency, but the majority of really good football players don't become free agents. That's why I was a free agent like 10 times. You follow me?
Yeah, I was going to say it. But.
I was just saying, I was like, damn. Yeah, well, I was a free agent a lot.
Yeah.
Like every 4 years, done. And then it became every year. And I was like, yeah, one and done, one and done, one and done. But seriously, the really good players, they just don't become free agents unless it's later on in their career. And they're like, okay, well, you just hope that you can get a year or two out of them mm-hmm. if you sign them. That's just the way that it is. And then when they do, you overpay for them. Right, that's what we talked about earlier.
Yep.
And so you need draft picks, and I get it. I get what James is saying. Like, yeah, you got to hit on them. That's their job, though.
Of course.
But just to say, I don't want a fifth rounder, I don't want a sixth rounder, I don't want a fourth rounder, I only want a first or second rounder. Other than that, I don't really care. But just to say, like, okay, they're going to miss on them, so I don't want these picks. I'd rather just keep Jerry Jeudy? No. I think that's an awful approach. I like these picks. Now you just gotta pick the right guy.
Right.
Right. Look. Where is Malik Jackson picked? Right. I mean, fifth or sixth rounder.
Mm-hmm.
So
the text line actually had a beautiful example of wide receiver.
Beautiful.
Puka Nacua was a fifth round pick a year ago.
Puka, shout out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was pretty dang good.
Yeah.
Never heard of him before, like the third or fourth week of the season. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, this guy's balling, and he kept balling every single week.
The only Puka we had in our lives were shells.
That's right. Yes. You rock those?
Oh, dude, with blonde frosted tips.
Yeah, I think I was might have been middle school for me.
Yeah, high school.
Well, then
me.
It came, then it flipped back for a little bit, came back maybe, mm-hmm. a little bit in college maybe.
They're back now.
Are they?
I actually went to the skate park yesterday. There was a kid with a puka shell necklace and a pearl necklace. He was double dipping.
I got a skating comment for you.
Oh, you
yes,
do?
Yes, that someone asked me yesterday.
Really?
I'm going to get to that in 1 second after I finish body slamming James.
Please,
we got to finish this off. So the approach of like, F them picks, because our guy, George Payton, has missed a lot on these picks. Then get us a new general manager.
Find someone else, yeah.
Right? And I get it. He hasn't done well with some of the picks, but Sean Payton is overseeing this thing now. I'm going to just hold out hope that we can find a couple gems, a couple hidden gems there late in the draft.
Because
there'll be some good players there. You just got to find them. And that's how you build your team. You build your team through the draft. And so I didn't like that approach and thought process from James.
Yeah. I think Jerry Jeudy, you know how I felt, man. A fifth and a sixth, you got a great deal from Jerry Jeudy because he was – it's addition by subtraction. He was never going to help this team. He was only going to hurt this team, and that's all he did in his tenure as a Denver Bronco. So addition by subtraction, a fifth and sixth, that's icing on the cake for me. I just want him out of the dang locker room. So
yeah.
I'm not down on it at all. I am encouraged by the move.
At this point, I get it. Oh, we could have got a second, whenever. All right. Those days are long gone.
Yeah.
Do you want Jerry Jeudy back on a one-year, $13 million deal? No, we don't. So it's a fifth and sixth. Perfect. Mm-hmm. It's time to move on.
Great text. Tyreek Hill, fifth rounder.
There you go.
He's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty solid. So,
pretty good at football. Not great at being a husband. Remember, he got divorced in like 33 days this offseason?
He said there was a miscommunication there.
Oh, he was?
They're not divorced.
Oh, they're not divorced?
No.
They reconciled? What is that called?
Just somebody filed paperwork that wasn't supposed to be filed. It's all good.
Oh, okay.
Nothing to see here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
okay.
All good. Yeah. So
fight went to the next level.
Yeah. look, they're there. There's some really good players. Free agents that are good players, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see them all the time around here. So now you got to find them. I get it. How about who's a good running back? Just a pretty good running back in the NFL right now. Isaiah Pacheco.
Oh, he is good.
Sixth, seventh rounder, whatever it was. Late round pick. A
couple Super Bowl rings, right?
Yeah. Runs the ball pretty hard and pretty effective. So they're there, man. Just go find them. And that's how you build a good football team. And then you supplement a couple pieces every year when you need to. And then you get to the position like the 49ers. They don't need a whole lot, right? Mm-hmm. They don't need a whole lot. Guess what? Teams come pluck their guys. We're going to get Mike McGlinchey, right? We got him, right? Which is great. Guess what? San Francisco gets a third-round compensatory pick.
Yeah.
And they just keep rebuilding. But their core and their foundation is there. That is built through the draft, most of it. Now, they've done a good job of going out and getting Christian and making a move there. But most of the time, you have to build your football team through the draft, not free agency. And so that's why I'm looking at these picks and like, all right, this is an important draft.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really important draft for the Denver Broncos. Now, I'm going to tell you my story. Do you have anything to add on that?
No, you're absolutely right. You nailed these couple of drafts. It's a 1-2 year rebuild. You miss on these drafts, it's a 5-year extension of what we're already living in.
Yeah. And so I was going to play golf yesterday over at Glenmore. Shout out. And one of the guys that was helping me get to my put my bag on my car, he just comes out there and grabs my bag. He's like, "Oh, thank you." And he's like, "I think he said I like listen to the show." And then he goes, "I got to ask you a question." I said, "Yeah, what's that?" He's like, "Does Josh Dover really skate, or is that a bit that y'all do?" I'm like, "No,
it's a bit."
I was like, "No, he actually does skate." He's like, "Oh," he was kind of surprised. He thought like 40-year-old, skating.
Yeah.
There's one. Josh Dover. But he was shocked.
Really?
He was shocked, yeah. He was shocked.
Look,
we
don't lie on this show.
No, I don't know. I guess I'm not sure, but that was the question.
Yeah, really?
I said he does skate, just not very well.
Well.
I mean, just like getting on a board and not being able to. Have you tried that again, the 3-foot ramp?
Yep.
Have you conquered it?
Blunt revert, got it back.
We're got
ready
it back?
To roll. Yep.
Okay. Is it on film?
No, but it can be. And I actually went skated yesterday, had a great day. I told you I was in this weird funk where I think I'm letting you get to me.
Oh.
I was kind of like, am I too old for this?
You're getting really self-aware, like you're paranoid. At the skate park.
Well, like I said, the kid comes with a puka shell necklace. I'm like, oh my God, that's what I wore when I was 12. but I skated real good yesterday.
Oh, you did.
So I was like, you know what?
I got it.
Stoked.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. That's right. You do you. You do you.
Yeah, shout out to the guy at the golf club, too. I'll send him some videos if he wants to see how it's skating.
He probably does.
I bet he
wants
does.
The evidence.
I bet he does. All right, we'll take a timeout when we get back. We're going to kick off top of the hour talking a little bit more about where these Broncos are and the lack of quarterback, what that means for the plan moving forward. That's next.